now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
This week on the show, a book all about Angie Dickinson. And we bring back my word jazz poems, this one on coronavirus. Surprise, surprise. A look at the World of Swank gig guide and some things that have been rescheduled. Plus, Lounge Life magazine and my deep thoughts are back, as well as I delve into a deep and controversial subject. Right now, Jimmy Vargas and Heartbreak Hotel on the Cocktail Nation.
Since my baby left me, I found a new place at 12. Tied at the end of a lonely street called the Heartbreak Hotel. I'm so lonely. I'm so lonely. So
the Cocktail Nation, thanks to Ultraswank.net.
Angeli to Coop Cooper, and across all social medias, if you'd like to find us on Instagram and also on Facebook, just simply type in Cocktail Nation one word and you will find us, and Twitter as well.
Cocktail Nation.
Joining me right now, James Stratton, Angie, the life and films of Angie Dickinson.
Hello.
Now, tell me a little bit about why you decided to get into writing a book about Angie Dickinson. Have you been a fan for a long time? Is that the impetus?
Well, I have been a fan for a long time, and that's part of the impetus. Was a fan the first time I saw her in Rio Bravo, and then following that in The Killers and in Point Blank. And then the second reason was because there just hadn't been enough written about her. There hadn't been enough written about her contributions, her amazing performances, and I just thought she needed the attention.
Now, was this a book which you did a little bit of collaboration with her at all? Or did you talk to her?
Well, Angie's reluctant to get involved in projects like this. I think she may, in fact, still be working on a memoir of her own. And there was so much, and there is so much material, so much video material, so much written material, so much archived material. I realized I could accomplish the biographical profile part of the book with that rich treasure of resources. But then the other thing I wanted to do in the book, beyond just the biographical profile, was to talk about the movies themselves, to catalog the 50-plus appearances in feature film and the TV appearances. And so I was trying to do both things, the life, but then also the films. And so for each film, for each of the feature film, there's information about the credits. There's a quick summary of the narrative. There are my own comments on her performance, and then there are selections from the reviews of the time.
It seems to me, from some of the research that I did, going into this interview today, was there seems to be too much focus on her personal life. Her personal life was obviously quite interesting, but very much lacking in her professional life, which was quite outstanding.
Yes, I totally agree with that, and that was part of the reason I wanted to do this comprehensive look at the career. The career itself often gets neglected, and just the scope of the career, just the sheer size of it, and then also the incredible skills that she has as an actress. I think that sometimes was overlooked with all the stuff about, the Rat Pack and the Kennedy connection and the marriage to Burt Bacharach. I think you're absolutely right. That too many times seemed to be the emphasis, and too often she was defined through the connections she had with some of these important men in her life.
Yeah, I definitely think it. Those sorts of things overshadowed her life. When I thought about what do I know about Angie Dickinson before I even sat down and really read more about her, I thought, well, I kind of know about the Sinatra, kind of know about the Kennedy thing. I knew about Burt Bacharach, and I knew that she kind of hung around in the periphery of the Rat Pack. And I just thought, there's got to be more to this woman, and clearly there is. Now, she had such a long, long career. I think that's probably one of the most interesting things I found. And here's a woman who was able to maintain her looks, for a very, very long time. She's considered one of the most beautiful women in the world on the screen. But such a wonderfully long career, clearly talented.
You're so right about that. I mean, she begins this television career in the early 50s. She is makes her starring appearance in Rio Bravo, 59-60, then goes on into those films in the 60s, gets the iconic TV show Policewoman in 74 through 78, has kind of a rebirth with the appearance in Dressed to Kill, and then continues to make films right up until 2009. So that's a pretty amazing career, long, durable, solid. And there are few moments when she's not in the public consciousness through all that time.
Has she completely given up acting? Is she completely retired?
I think so. Yeah, the last TV appearance was Mending Fences in 2009. That was a TV film, really a great performance. And the last feature film was Elvis Has Left the Building, 2004. And so she still does the occasional television interview, but I think the performances, as far as I know and up to this point, have been pretty much ended.
Was she a professionally trained actress, or did she happen to just stumble into it because of her looks?
Well, she is, I think, an intuitive actress, and she has just a lot of intrinsic skills. But she did do some formal classes in the early 50s at the acting workshop here in Los Angeles, as she realized she wanted to move into acting and to really be serious about the career. She realized that the looks alone, which had got her recognized as part of that early Jack Rourke beauty show, which was then leveraged into the Colgate Comedy Hour appearance, the looks got her the entry, but she knew that she really was going to need to deliver the dramatic skills as well. And so, yeah, she did take some acting lessons. And then she was fortunate enough to work with some really good directors in the early days as well. There was the opportunity to work with Sam Fuller in China Gate early on in the 50s. And then, of course, the great good luck to work with Howard Hawks in Rio Bravo. So opportunities like that certainly helped. I think Hawks was a major influence on the style, on her acting style.
The interesting thing about her, you know, her very, very long career, of course, is, the stunning looks, the amazing opportunities that came her way. But what did you discover about her in putting this together that you went, wow, I had no idea that this was the case, this happened?
Good question. Certainly she had hardship in her life, and she dealt with that in a very strong and resilient way. She had has an incredible sense of loyalty to friends. I was so interested to hear that just about everyone has, in fact, everyone that I came across in the research has positive things to say about her. Her working relationship with cast and crews she worked with, always positive. Just that amazingly solid professional reputation. It was something I hadn't been aware of. And then, as you mentioned earlier, just the sheer scope of the career, the many, many things that she was involved with, the advertising campaign she was involved with, certainly didn't know about that. And then I think one thing that struck me was just how perennially cool Angie always was from the beginning, the Rat Pack stuff. The campaigning for JFK when politics in the early 60s began to be cool. Then she appears in the film Point Blank and one of the first actresses to be shown in miniskirts. And then she does those iconic Martini and Rossi commercials where she's the height of hipness in the 60s and 70s. And then she appears on Saturday Night Live in 1987, hosts Saturday Night Live. It's almost incredible, this ability to be always of the moment. And then one of the things I hadn't realized before, in 1993, she is surprised in a This Is Your Life episode, and she walks off the set, refuses to participate in the show, which was almost unheard of at the time. In fact, was unheard of.
Wow. And she also suffered great tragedy. I believe her daughter had some major issues and ended up taking her own life.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And her sister was diagnosed with Alzheimer's and suffered for many years, about the same time as she was going through a lot of the challenges with her daughter, Nikki. Yeah. It's what I meant when I say she has had some real hardships in her life and has weathered them with a great deal of courage and dignity, I think.
She seems like a fairly private person. It seems like that anyway.
Yes, I would agree. Yes, very private, very, very loyal to her friends, not someone to get on a TV show and gossip about people that she's worked with or known. Very private and very respectful of other people's privacy as well.
Yeah, in interviews that I've seen, when she talks about Frank Sinatra, for example, she talks about how amazing he was the first time she saw him walking onto a stage, and there he is. And she said, "I was absolutely blown away." And but as far as the relationship goes, she tends to talk down a fair bit, doesn't she?
Well, but she is quite forthright about it. On more than one occasion, while interviewed on TV shows, she said, quite frankly, Frank Sinatra was the love of my life. She is quite upfront about the relationship, how much she valued it, how kind of flexible and easygoing it was, but she certainly doesn't deny the fact that they were romantically involved and that he was a very important person in her life, and they remained friends right up until his death. And she was also friends with Frank's wife Barbara as well.
Right. Yeah, I believe he was. They were talking about the idea of marriage, but he wasn't keen on marrying her because she was an actress.
Exactly. Odd considering
you went and married an actress after that, but anyway, yeah.
And was coming off a marriage day of a gardener before that. Yeah, at the time he was saying he was not interested in marrying an actress was that time when she was most interested in developing her career as an actress. So that timing wasn't particularly opportune.
Yeah. Well, look, it sounds like an absolutely amazing book, and wonderful that you put together some more on the incredible life of Angie Dickinson. Angie, The Life and Films of Angie Dickinson by James Stratton. Of course, it's available everywhere through Amazon and places like that, and certainly directly through Bear Manor Media. James, it's been wonderful talking to you.
It's been great. I've enjoyed it. Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk about Angie. I appreciate it. Thank you.
The Cocktail Nation.
Tell me, dear, why? Can you dig it, huh?
Cocktail Nation.
The party is in full swing now and everyone is having a gas.
Fond du Cocktail Nation.
I'm gonna live till I die. I'm gonna laugh instead of cry. I'm gonna take this town and turn it upside down. I'm gonna live till I die. They're gonna say, what a guy. I'm gonna play for the sky. I ain't gonna miss a thing. I'm gonna have my fling. I'm gonna live till I die. The blues I'll lay low, I'll make them stay low, they'll never trail over my head. I'll be a devil till I'm an angel, but till then, well, gonna dance, gonna fly, take a chance, riding high. Before my number's up, I'm gonna fill my cup. I'm gonna live, yes, until I die. The blues will lay low. I'll make them stay low. They'll never trail over my head. I'll be a devil till I'm an angel. But until then, hallelujah, gonna fly. I'm aiming high. Before my number's up, I gotta fill my cup. I'm gonna live. Step aside and let me live.
Twitter handle, Cocktail Nation. Follow the lounge leader today.
We'll be right back.
Baskerville on the Cocktail Nation. Also played Sammy Davis Jr. and I'm Gonna Live Till I Die.
World Jesuit Couperon de Cocktail Nation.
Crazy.
Corona, Corona. How you ruined everything. Now I'm stuck in my penthouse because I'm so scared of you. You ruined my look because now I wear a mask with my tux. And baby, that ain't cool. You caused me to watch Netflix all day, and I can't go to the gym. Just what will happen to my waistline? Flatten the curve, they say. Boy, my tummy gets fatter. Social distancing, they say. Well, I lose all my social events. Wash your hands, they say. Well, that's a good idea. Go away, Corona. Go away. We are bored with you. Literally. And if there's one thing we know about coronavirus, is that it won't last long because it was made in China.
The Cocktail Nation.
Coop Cooper, swank extraordinaire.
You're an unusual man who speaks seven languages. You're an athlete. You're more than up to the physical requirements of the job.
Lounge Lothario DJ, Coop Cooper.
The Cocktail Nation. Nation.
Thank you.
Nation, David Holmes, and Lifting the Building from Ocean's 12. Lounge Life magazine, it is out. It is your free Flipboard magazine, updated regularly. In fact, on a daily basis, you'll find new stories there. It's a live magazine. Here's one. Mel's Drive-In is reviving its car hop service in the face of coronavirus. 45 places, too, where you can download tens of thousands of books, plays, and other literary texts, completely legal for free. And the great thing is, if you're stuck inside in isolation, well, this might be a bit of a godsend. And you can step inside Dita Von Teese's one-of-a-kind Los Angeles home. You can check it out. Links on my website, cocktailnation.net, Lounge Life magazine, your free Flipboard retro mag.
On the Cocktail Nation, Coupe et Goût Deep.
If we weren't meant to have midnight snacks, why is there a light in the refrigerator?
Very deep, Cocktail Nation.
On the Cocktail Nation, it is lounge leader Coop Cooper. We have been reviving the Anatomy of a Lounge Lothario series. We've been running this every Monday, in fact. So if you missed out on some of the series, definitely check it out. It is available through the podcast portion of this show each and every week, rerunning that as we work towards the Femme Fatales coming up in the future. Let's take a look at the World of Swank gig guide. Well, as I mentioned last week, pretty much everything's off, but we're going to bring you some amended events, some online events. Dickie Caliente has been rescheduled to October 1, and at this stage, Richard Cheese still has his July and October gigs on the go. And at this stage, Huki Lau is still coming up in June at this stage. But keep an eye on the website, cocktailnation.net. This is Ellington Hawke and 16 Tons.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons of number 9 coal. Well, the store boss said, well, bless my soul, you load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning, it was drizzling rain. Fighting and trouble are my middle name. I was raised in a cane brick by an old mama line. Can't no high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. If you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't, a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Cocktail Nation. Thank you.
Cocktail Nation, Martini Kings Free, the Freeloader. Next week on the show, we're going to bring you another lounge special. Going to leave you with Rebecca Domain. When in Rome, stay happy.
When in Spain, for reasons I don't explain, I remain enjoying a brew. Don't deplore my fondness for Fundador. You know how a Fundador can lead to a few. And baby, when in Rome, I do as the Romans do. If perchance I'm saying farewell to France, and romance drops in from the blue, cher amour, I'm begging you, please endure my taking a brief detour with somebody new. It's just that when in Rome, I do as the Romans do. And though from Italy I lie to you prettily, don't think of me bitterly, you know that I'm true. Except now and then in Rome, I get that old yen in Rome, and naturally when in Rome, I do as the Romans do.
The Romans do.